Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, we have Lauren Harris Pincus, who is a registered dietitian. She's also just an amazing woman I met at a conference, I think in Atlanta several years ago, and I was so impressed with her. She's so down to earth, and like many dietitians and nutritionists that we've had on the show, she'll surprise you because I think so many of us can be intimidated if we meet or we run into on social media somebody who is, you know, their area of expertise is nutrition, and we always tend to think that they're going to be like the food police, and that's not the case. And that's what impressed me so much with Lauren. We've stayed connected throughout the years, and I knew that I wanted her on the show. I actually didn't realize until we recorded this show, and you'll hear a little bit more about her background, but that she was obese as a child. In fact, as early as age 7, and she really has an extraordinary journey to when she started eating better. And just dealing with obesity and health issues all throughout her young childhood, and that's what inevitably led her to conquer them, maybe not in the best way, but then actually pursue, you know, becoming a registered dietitian so that she could help others. This is really a fantastic interview, and we talk about her new book that she has out, which is The Protein Packed Breakfast Club, Easy High Protein Recipes with 300 Calories or Less. It'll help you lose weight and boost your metabolism. She's a powerhouse of information. I really enjoyed this interview. In fact, I took quite a lot of notes. And I said to her after the show, I'm like, we need to have you back. I want to do a show on the topic of sugar and sugar substitutes. I think there's a lot of, you know, confusion on that. And the clean eating craze, you'll see that we talked about that in this interview as well. There's just a whole bunch of really great takeaways. So I encourage you to sit down, grab a chai latte, enjoy this interview with Lauren Pincus, and let us know if you have any questions after. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and I am here live with Lauren. Lauren, are you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
I'm so excited. It's so funny. When did you and I meet? Didn't we meet at like a Subway event down at Fincy? Was that when we first hung out in person?
Yes, you're right. We met at Fincy. I think we were in, I want to say, Atlanta.
That's right. I still remember going to that show, and I didn't plan on talking about this, but that for those of you that are listening, FINCY is an acronym, FN as in Frank. I need some caffeine. FN as in Nancy, CE, and it's a, what does that stand for? It's like a food show.
Right. It's food and nutrition conference and expo by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So it's basically the Super Bowl of nutrition for dietitians.
That's a good way of putting it. But I was, I literally was blown away. I think it's one of the best conferences out there. It was just so overwhelming. There was so much food. It was such outstanding food and nutrition information, education, great sessions. And we were there because we were doing some work with, Fitfluential was doing some work with Subway at the time. We did a live Twitter chat, I think. And we had a bunch of our Fitfluential ambassadors, some of our bloggers there. And that's when Lauren and I got to hang out. And it was really cool. It was really cool to meet people in person. And certainly I love Hotlanta at almost any time of the year, but I digress. So Lauren, I am super excited to have you on the show, excited to share with the audience. This is a great topic, one that's very appropriate, especially this time of year when people are starting to think about New Year's resolutions and so on. So we'll talk about in a little bit your protein-packed breakfast club, which I just, that just rolls off the tongue. It's such a perfect, like, it's just It's marketing genius. I love it. And I can't wait to talk about that. But whenever I have somebody on the show for the first time, I always like to ask, you know, hey, when did you, because so many of our listeners will, you know, if they hear that you're a dietitian, a nutritionist, a trainer, a doctor, a celebrity fitness guru, whatever, they kind of think that these people were born special. They were born this way with like special fitness superpowers or nutrition superpowers. And it's always interesting to me to hear the background of how and why somebody got started on their fitness journey. Like what was it for you, Lauren, that got you interested in either living a healthy lifestyle, pursuing fitness, eating right? And at that point, when and why was that? And then when did you really find your fitness? And by that, I just mean, sometimes people start working out and eating better, but it's really more maybe for the wrong reasons. And it sometimes is later in life that they're like, yeah, it used to be punishment. And then I really found what worked for me later. I'm at my happy place now. So maybe that was all at once for you. But number one, when and why did you start your fitness journey? And when did you find your fitness?
Well, I don't even know if I've ever told you this, but I was an obese kid. So I was heavy by kindergarten. I grew up in the 70s. We're close to the same age. And I was at Weight Watchers at 7 years old with the adults in the, you know, support group there after they do the weigh-in. I dieted my entire childhood, up and down, every diet available at that time. I went to two fat camps, two sleepaway summers at fat camp, as we called it back then in the day, you know, where they worked you out like 6 hours a day and fed you like 1,200 calories to growing children. Wow. It was crazy, I have to say, but I yo-yoed all through my childhood. And when I was 17, I was a senior in high school, and I said, I'm done. I said, I am so sick of this. I want to be able to do what my friends can do. I couldn't keep up with them physically. And I would try and work out and I would go to the gym. And, you know, I weighed too much. I just couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't wear the clothes I wanted to wear. And when you're 17, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I have the lousiest metabolism in the world. I always have. I was heavy when I was 4 or 5. You know, I didn't eat a lot. My mom cooked healthy every night. I was the only one heavy in my house. You know, we didn't eat junk. I never ate junk. Once in a blue moon, I had my sorry little sandwich with my skim milk for lunch at school when everybody else was eating cupcakes and Twinkies and everything. So I really,
I hated those kids.
Yeah. And it's not that I, oh my goodness, you know, had a ton of habits to change. I just needed to get really a handle on it. And I went on this ridiculous diet that was like 800 calories my senior year in high school. And I lost close to 50 pounds by my senior prom, which was my goal to, you know, wear a strapless dress to my senior prom. And I did it. And the truth is, it was a really unhealthy way to do it. And knowing what I know now, I just can't believe how like not smart that was, but you know, who knew back then. Right. And, but then I, you know, I went straight to college and I started studying nutrition and dietetics and became an RD. So I really learned the right way to do it. And, you know, my passion for health and fitness, you know, developed into not only making sure that I could take care of myself, but that I could use my knowledge to help other people, you know, achieve their health and fitness goals.
I'm just curious, when you say you lost, you know, you lost the weight on the crazy diet and then you went to college and studied to become an RD, did you ever end up, you know, so many of us go to college and gain the freshman 15 or freshman 20. I can only imagine, you know, you're coming out of all these years of being very heavy and then going on an extreme diet and losing weight. What was that transition like? Did you kind of go back before you went forward?
Actually, it was the opposite. I was so scared to gain weight back that I was just not fun to be around because I would never do a pizza run. I would never do a nacho run. I didn't want to drink any beer. You know, I would like keep Weight Watchers and Lean Cuisine frozen dinners in my tiny little dorm freezer and microwave stuff. And I didn't want to go to the dining hall. So it really actually was not healthy socially because I was so desperate to not gain weight back that I think all my sorority sisters thought I had an eating disorder and they would gang up on me every now and then. And I'm like, no, you don't really understand. I'm eating. I just can't eat what you eat. Right. In order to not, you know, gain all this weight back that I lost, because my body just doesn't work that way. But no,
I have like compassion for you retroactively, but on the other hand, I also feel, and this is what I want to do more of on the Fitfluential podcast here, but also, you know, in our Fitfluential membership, which heavy plug, I'm never even going to say soft plug. We did just launch that today. Fitfluential.com/membership. I totally hard plugged it. But in all seriousness, I think that people have too much, like we think that, I think eating disorders of several levels, like there's extreme eating disorders, you know, folks that are binging and purging. And of course there's, we don't hear as much about anorexia or bulimia as we used to. When I first founded Fitfluential, that was still sadly very common. We heard about it a lot. Some of our people got caught up in eating disorders, and luckily many of them have recovered, and it's wonderful to see people recover and feel good about life again. But I do think so many of us, like it sounds to me like you got to the point, and I'm going to keep it real. I've shared that even right now, I get to the point where sometimes I realize how irrational it is, but I get scared of food, meaning I get scared. Oh my God, I had too much of, did I eat too many carbs yesterday? And you think it's so this like penultimate awful experience that you had a sweet potato because you're trying to eat so healthy. That can be just as much disordered of a mindset as, you know, somebody that is doing the opposite. You know, they're tasting their food and spitting it out. There's all kinds of eating disorders. I hear about it all the time. More and more of the folks that have been on the show have it. And so I think that the more we make it comfortable for people to talk about, hey, I do this weird thing, or I'm really uncomfortable, or really, you know, terrified to gain weight back. I mean, just become comfortable with it. That's when you can address it. Would you agree? Do you think that there's actually more people that have probably mild to medium food disorders?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And a lot of it, I think, came about with social media, because people didn't really have access to that much information and that many different voices with microphones telling them what to do, and it's all conflicting. So I think people just sort of don't even know what to think anymore. You know, the whole clean eating craze has gotten people afraid to eat. You know, when I hear people that are afraid to eat fruits and vegetables, if they're not organic, that they'd rather not eat them than eat conventional fruits and vegetables, they just don't understand the science. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that upsets me, because when I hear people won't feed their children fruits and vegetables that aren't organic, and if they can't afford it, they're just not going to feed it to them. That defies any logic when it comes to healthy eating and nutrition. So I absolutely agree with you, and all the different diets out there too that are very extreme, that cut out whole food groups, that, you know, have people afraid to eat certain things. It's really actually very sad. I work very hard with my clients to find the right fit for each person, because each person is very different. They have different ethnic backgrounds. They have different health issues. They have different family histories. They have different economic situations, taste preferences, cooking abilities, all the things that you need to consider when trying to figure out how to help a person, you know, reach their weight and health and fitness goals. So there's just really not one thing that works for everyone. And when people realize that, this sigh of relief comes over them. When they come into my office and I say, I'm not putting you on a diet today, and they kind of look at me like, huh? I'm not going on a diet? I said, nope, you're not going on a diet. And, you know, when they leave, I say, do you feel like you went on a diet? And they say, no. I said, okay. And that's really my goal, is to help people just, you meet them where they're at, you figure out what works, and you both try your best.
That's brilliant. And, you know, I will say this, I think we talked about this when we all got together at lunch or dinner that time in Atlanta, how many people who are, I'm just going to, like, there's all the dietitians and nutritionists out there, and they've all said this, like, people think that you're the food police, right? And that, you know, there a lot of individuals, they'll have, misconceptions about seeing a dietitian. They'll think, oh, well, that's just for really obese people. That's only for people that need, you know, that their doctor has said they have to go see a dietitian. That's misunderstanding number one, I think. And then number two is there's just a lot of folks out there that think going to a dietitian is just that. I go to a dietitian or I go see an RD for a diet. And that's not the case. I've been pleasantly surprised by meeting the dietitians, whether they work for companies or like you, Lauren, and they're so down to earth. They have a much more relaxed approach about, and these are people that have a ton of education on nutrition and food. And for them to be able, like, I do want to ask you a piggyback question on what you just said with the clean eating craze, but more and more of the folks that we've had on the show with this area of expertise, I love it because I think that you provide such a grounded and reasonable approach to eating. And I love that because I think more than anybody else, we would probably expect you to come on the show and go, well, here's the deal. Like what you just said about the clean eating craze. I'll be direct with you. Like I've had a lot of folks that have been teaching me personally and a lot of folks that are on the show where it's a hardcore focus on organic. And obviously that's preferable, right? I don't think anybody would say, oh, you don't need to look for organic. That's always going to be an ideal. And correct me if I'm wrong, you can absolutely throw in a different opinion here. But I'd love to hear what you said, because I'll be honest with you, like the more that I've learned about organic, and I've had some folks that I interviewed recently where they're like, it's so awful if you're not eating organic, that stuff is sprayed with such horrible pesticides that you're just, you might as, and that's what they said, you shouldn't eat anything. So when you say, that's crazy to not have, if you can buy apples or oranges or celery or whatever, and it's not organic, what do you say to people that A, that's, they can't afford to eat all organic, or B, they, for whatever reason, they can't access that. What do you say about eating, you know, air quotes, regular non-organic food? Because I think that's a great topic.
From everything I've learned and all of the studies that I've read and the conferences that I've attended where I've heard people speak on this topic, basically, the bottom line is we don't eat enough produce and plant-based foods as a society, as a culture. And for each serving a day that anyone adds to their diet of fresh frozen canned produce, whatever it is, of produce, significantly lowers their risk of disease, of cancer, of heart disease, of hypertension, of these other things that conventional or not. So the pesticides, yes, there are pesticides. They're so infinitesimally small that the benefit from the nutrients and the phytochemicals and the antioxidants in the food far outweighs the risk of any pesticide residue that you might be consuming for the most part.
So would you say, because again, people can just get really scared with this kind of stuff. If you're out, because if it's bananas, if it's anything with, you know, really thick skin, I don't worry about buying organic with that stuff. When it's things like lettuce, I always do try to buy organic. But, you know, do you recommend getting, when we're washing our vegetables, do we need to have, we didn't plan to talk about this, and we're heading to Protein Pack Breakfast Club next, I promise. Is just washing your vegetables in the sink the way we always used to do it enough in that case, or do we have to have some special food scrub that you see in the produce aisles that they sell in grocery stores now?
From what I understand, water is just fine. Again, there are going to be people that are going to have certain sensitivities to chemicals. The same as, you know, when I say each body is different and each person is different, you have to consider each person, and certain people have certain allergies or responses to chemical sensitivities that other people don't have. So that person's going to have to be more cognizant and aware of their own system. You know, when it comes down to it, you're aware probably of the environmental working group and the quote unquote, you know, air quotes, dirty dozen list. So if you're going to spend any money on organic, that's where I would put it. But for something like broccoli, for example, that has almost no pesticide residue, it's silly to spend your money on that if you could spend it somewhere else. And I just don't want people afraid. I don't want the fear factor in the food. That's what upsets me. When I hear people saying, well, I just don't buy it because I don't buy the organic, so I'm not going to eat fruits and vegetables. I'm like, what, are you crazy? So that's where I feel like media and social media just confuses people and scares them and puts fear in food that doesn't need to be there.
I do. I think we could do a whole extra, and we should talk about that. We should do like a whole show on this, you know, food fears, because, you know, sometimes too, it can just happen with, and this is why I have to keep reminding myself of this, because I do firmly believe it. And we actually have quite a few guests, several ladies that I'm interviewing on the show where they had had so many uptight issues. I'm one of them, where you get so worried and kind of full of anxiety trying to be perfect, whether it's with your macros, whether it's again, buying organic, non-GMO, whatever it is. And then you're stressing out so much, you're jacking up your cortisol, and you're actually causing your body. And so many women, I've had this conversation so much the past month, where they're like, I couldn't lose weight, I was working out more. And then when I finally decided to say, screw it. And once in a while I had that Pop-Tart, I went out and I had a beer, I had some wings, and I didn't go, oh my God, it has gluten in it. Ah, you know, they said it's like my body just relaxed, and suddenly I was able to enjoy my working out and my life again. And I was sleeping better and I lost weight. And I firmly believe that speaks to all of us. You got to kind of take all the information that's out there, become your own health advocate, listen to, you know, what's new and noteworthy out there as far as food, nutrition, workout information. But then you got to make your own decisions. I mean, there's quite a lot of times where I'll ask my trainer certain things and he's like, yeah, you shouldn't do this. And then I come home and I'm like, you know what? That works for him. I love Blaine and that works for him, but I don't think I'm ready to be there. And I'm kind of cool with this decision. And I used to be the person that's like, oh, but he said I have to do this. What if I don't like it? And what if I'm out and I have to have a cracker and I'm at the airport? I think that these food fears will, like, it's kind of like you, what you just said about the pesticides. We worry so much about that, where the actual benefits we can get from the fruits and vegetables will far outweigh what those potential pesticides that we're going to wash off for the most part could potentially be as far as a negative impact. So same thing with the food fears and the anxiety. We get ourselves so worked up and cause more of a negative impact on our fitness, health, and wellness than just eating the occasional whatever. If it's glass of wine, having a glass of wine, if it's having packaged foods, if it's, you know, going through the fast food drive-thru one time, whatever it is. So I do think we'll talk about that another time. I think that could be a whole other show, but let's talk protein because you have an amazing book. I clicked through on the link from your email and I just want to say it again. Protein Packed Breakfast Club. I love saying that. I don't know why, but tell us about the Protein Packed Breakfast Club. How did this come about? And, you know, and by the way, is the book live now? It's we can buy it right now on Amazon, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So tell us about the Protein Packed Breakfast Club.
Okay. So the Protein Packed Breakfast Club came about, basically, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? Yeah. So I've been an RD for over 20 years. I've had a private practice most of that time. And the number one issue that my clients have is that they just have no idea what to eat for breakfast. They either skip it, or they have coffee or a bagel or, you know, just cornflakes and a banana or something that just is not going to give them the nutrition and the sustenance that they need to get through their morning and to actually jumpstart their metabolism for the day. But it's not only that, you know, the research shows us that people who skip breakfast, they have many more metabolic risk issues. You know, even the American Heart Association this past year recently came out with a scientific statement, and they basically said that skipping breakfast has been associated with markers of impaired glucose metabolism, which we don't want, including an elevated A1C, which is your average blood sugar, and higher fasting blood sugars and all day blood sugar control. So that's not what we want, right? We want better blood sugar control, not worse. And apparently skipping breakfast is associated with worse glucose metabolism. And, you know, in addition to that, epidemiological studies have proven strong evidence of a relationship between skipping breakfast and cardiometabolic risk, including a greater risk of overweight and obesity. So when you skip breakfast because you're trying to save your calories, or you don't have time, or maybe you ate a whole lot the night before because you were like binge eating late at night and then you weren't hungry in the morning, for whatever reason that it is, it's worse for you metabolically. So it increases your risk of diabetes and cardiovascular disease and hypertension and all the things that we try so hard to not have or develop, right? So breakfast is like the easiest thing to do to help to decrease your risk of all of those things. And that's why the Protein Packed Breakfast Club came about, because people do not get protein in their breakfast at the right amount. You know how big protein is in the fitness world. It's the magic word, right? It's the secret sauce is protein. The problem is that more is not better. It's how you use it and how you consume it. And the critical thing is spreading it evenly throughout the day and distributing it properly so that you get 25 to 30 grams-ish at your meals, because your body cannot digest, absorb, and utilize any more than that at a time for muscle repair and synthesis, which is why everybody wants protein, right? Mm-hmm. We want it to build our muscles, to refuel, to recover after workouts, to repair, all that. But there's only so much you can use, and any more isn't going to help you. But the problem is at breakfast is where most people miss it. And if you lose that opportunity, you can't double up later and fix it. Mm-hmm. So if you have no protein at breakfast, you can't have an 8-ounce steak for dinner and fix it.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from. That's why I wrote the book.
And so many people, you know, I think that especially whenever we're recording these shows, I'm always thinking, you know, there's a good amount of people that are listening that are already on their fitness journey and they're familiar with some of these terms or concepts. And yet there's a lot of folks that, you know, they're in the corporate world, they might be healthy, they might not consider themselves overweight, but they've never really been active in exercise. They've never really watched what they've eaten. We're starting to see a lot of those folks writing in going, I know I need to get my crap together, for lack of a better word. And they're asking questions because they have no idea. Like, they've never focused on protein or eating the right things. It's always been grabbing a Starbucks on the way to the office. They travel for work a lot. I have a definite soft spot for reaching, you know, my friends in the corporate world, because that's where I spent the better part of the first 20 years of my career. And I can relate. I know what that life is like. And so many of them, they don't have any idea. They know, like you said, that protein is key. We see a lot of it in the media. We see it on fitness magazines, health magazines, everything about protein, but nobody knows how to figure out how much, like, what am I supposed to have? If I'm just starting and I'm, you know, I need to lose 50 pounds. How do I figure out how much protein would you say that 25 to 30 grams of protein is applicable to anyone, regardless of age, weight, needing to lose a certain amount, whether they're a man or a woman?
I think it's going to vary a little bit. I mean, if you're a little 90 pound lady, you know, that's right, sub 5 feet and 90 pounds, you don't need that much, because it is also based on grams per kilogram of body weight. But just to make it simple, that's all you're going to utilize, maximum 35 grams, like if you're really lifting, for example. So you're not going to utilize more than that per occurrence, we'll call it, per eating event. You're not really going to be able to utilize it. So the people who are pounding like these 50 and 100 gram scoops of protein powder, they're not really using it for what they think they're using it for. So yeah, that's where it gets a little wasteful. And the truth is, it's not that healthy for you anyway, because it's not real food, right? So the research shows to prevent muscle loss as we age. That's the thing, you know, women over 30, women over 40, the metabolism starts to go a little bit for many, many reasons. And one of them is that we start to lose muscle as we age. It's called sarcopenia, which is kind of a scary word, but that's what it is. And it's the loss of muscle as we age naturally. And when you don't get protein in your breakfast and you don't get it distributed properly throughout the day, you're missing that opportunity to protect that muscle and to try to prevent losing it.
It's so easy. And I'm glad that you brought that up, you know, muscle in general, because so many women, I shouldn't say it's sad, you know, cause I don't want to be insulting, but, it really is still very, very common that there are just so many women that have no idea the importance of weight training. They have no idea how building muscle can change your future. I use myself as an example all the time. I'm 48 years old and I feel better about how I look. And I'm not at my goal yet. I'd say I probably still need to lose at least 10, 15 pounds because I have, you know, that hormonal cortisol, insulin resistant weight right around my core. But I've made more progress and I feel better about myself at age 48 because I spend more focus on lifting weight and fueling my workouts. You know, I don't by any means say with my approach to eating, I'm not trying to deprive myself. I'm trying to make sure I eat enough, diversify what I'm eating, enjoy what I'm eating, because I need to fuel my workouts. My workouts are intense, but they're far less like crazy cardio, like back in the day. And it does sadden me when I see women in their 30s and they're just, you know, whether it's excessive running or just excessive, extreme long cardio sessions, and they're not lifting weights at all. And then they're on extreme diets where they're just, you know, maybe eating packaged diet foods. And those have, you know, a lot of them will have very minimal protein in it or questionable sources of protein. And they're wondering why they feel so sluggish. They're wondering why they feel so tired. And what do you say? I'm sure you get a lot of women like that who hire you as their dietitian. And what do you say to women like that? How do you start them moving in the right direction to get them to see like you can be living a whole different world if you eat right and you stop punishing yourself?
Absolutely. And it's a really long conversation because I take an entire history of everything, their whole diet history, what they eat now, you know, how their weight has cycled and what their workouts are like and their whole medical history and family history and everything. Because if I have somebody who has 4 siblings and 2 parents and, you know, every grandparent with diabetes or hypertension, I'm going to look at them a little strong genetic risks for certain things, for example. So everybody is an individual and I just need to figure out where they are, what their goal is, and how we get them there.
I just pulled up, by the way, while we're talking. So if you hear me clicking, I'm not working on anything else. I'm pulling up your on Amazon. I wanted to look at some of the pictures so that I can, you know, tell people like by the way, here's what you're going to see. And just on the first page, I see like, it looks like there's some pancakes. There's like a big cup of whatever this is. And then there's an egg. I mean, like this stuff looks amazing. And it says that there's over 300 recipes. So one of the things I wanted to ask you when we're talking about protein, sorry, got a little hungry there.
Yeah. It's over 30, not 300. Don't want to mess with anyone.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Still, but even
you're going to be like, what?
The cover says, I mean, what's on the cover? What is that recipe on the cover? The Protein Pack Breakfast Club.
It's creamy orange overnight oats.
Girl, we need that recipe. I mean, well, I'm sorry.
That one's on my blog, actually.
Is it?
The cover recipe's on my blog, and there's a hands in pans video making it as well. So that one is actually on my blog.
What did you call it? Hands in pans?
Yeah, you know, like the tasty videos where it shows, you know, everybody's hands dumping the ingredients in and mixing it together. It's industry term, hands in pans.
Never heard that. That's awesome. Okay, so give me an example because I know I'm kind of hitting your time window here and I want to respect your time and we are absolutely going to have you back on the show on a regular basis because this was just the beginning. On a side note, before you answer this question, everybody, again, I'm looking at the link on Amazon and we'll link all of this up for you, but this is a quote from the description of the book. It says, power up your morning with protein. You'll find recipes featuring dairy, protein powders, nuts, seeds, eggs, and ancient grains, including hot trends like overnight oats, smoothie bowls, and mug cakes. I just fell in love with her by reading that. All three of those things. I'm like, just marry me right now. That's amazing. I am so not creative at making stuff up. So when I see things that other people eat, or excuse me, that they make, and whether you made it up or you got inspired by somebody else, I'm like, God bless you. Because people like me, we need you. We need these recipe ideas. My idea of creating recipes is like putting a different topping on my eggs or something. So I love that. But give us an example before we, you know, ask and tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find the book. What would be some, like your top 3 protein pack breakfasts that are like go-tos for you?
Okay. So my favorite, it's almost more like a hack. I love cereal, but we all know that there's really not enough protein in cereal. you know, to keep you full all morning. So what I discovered is if you mix protein powder into unsweetened almond milk or cashew or coconut milk, whatever it is that strikes your fancy, if you mix protein powder into it and then pour it over your cereal with fruit, now you've got the protein that you need and like a flavored cereal bowl. So if you do like chocolate protein powder with cocoa powder, then it's like Cocoa Puffs, like the cereal that your mom wouldn't buy you when you were a kid. But now you've got chocolate flavored milk in your cereal with like strawberries or pomegranate to go with the chocolate. It's delicious.
So when you, okay, I have to ask you on that one. If you, because I have tons of great protein powders, do you like blend it up in a NutriBullet or do you just kind of whisk it up?
No, I just whisk it in like a glass measuring cup. I just pour in the amount of milk that I want and I just whisk in the protein powder and then pour it over the cereal.
Okay. Cause and sometimes for everybody listening, you're definitely, whether it's for that or other things, you will definitely, if you're new to this, don't get discouraged if you buy a certain protein powder and it gets like, it doesn't blend well. There are all kinds of different protein powders and we all find our own, like most people have three or four different protein powders that they like. Some will say, oh, I use this for shakes. I use this for things that I bake with. I use this for that. So just know, I know there's some people that'll go out and they'll do this. Like, I want to try this. I've never done that before, but I do know that like one of my paleo protein powders does not mix well with milk and it would make me just gag. So you want to get ones that mix well. And that's something that you can tweak and experiment with. But what are your other two? Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and the accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
Absolutely. And the other thing too is that some bake well and some don't. So if you're trying to make a mug cake with whey, you're going to have a hockey puck. You need to use plant-based, so like microwave.
Is that what it is? It's about whey protein? I didn't know that.
Believe me, I've tried a million mug cakes and it does not work for me with whey. It's much better with plant-based because the whey turns out like a rock in a mug. I can bake with it. I can put it in, you know, muffins and things, but there's something about putting it in a mug cake. Maybe it's the proportion. But yeah, it's hard as a rock. So that doesn't work. So don't make my recipes with whey if you're trying to make a mug cake. You won't like it. Nice. But the other thing, my other hack that is so easy and I love is I make protein French toast by mixing together eggs and Greek yogurt and using that as the batter. And then when you dip the bread in it and cook it, you've got all this protein already soaked into the bread.
Nice.
And then I top it with like, let's say more yogurt and fruit instead of syrup. And now you've got a ton of protein without really doing anything different.
I'm getting hungry.
Really easy.
Did you say three or did you say two?
Oh, that was two. Oh my God.
You don't have to do three. That was actually two.
So many. I also have like a orange cream smoothie bowl that reminds me of an Orange Julius. I'm sure you've had Orange Julius in your life, right?
Yes.
So that's what it reminds me of. That's actually one of my favorite smoothie bowls. There's so many. It's like picking your favorite kid. But those are really easy ones.
That's awesome. I will give everybody, I was not planning on doing this, but one of my, and this is a hack, I saw a recipe on Pinterest one time and it looked so good. And I kind of just changed it a little bit. And it was like this, I think they called it almost like it wasn't a smoothie bowl. It was eggs in, what do they call it? Oh, a skillet. They called it like a skillet. Mm-hmm. And essentially what it was, you know, two, not soft boiled, but like, you know, gooey. What's it called when you just put an egg in a pan and it's gooey?
Oh, like a
over easy
or a runny egg.
Yeah, runny egg. You can tell I'm not a chef. So I make two or three eggs, and I make them that way so that they're gooey. But in a pan, I will take organic black beans, mix that with like, for the time I was using Rotel. So you basically want to get like a salsa in there, or I was using the spicy Rotel, mix that together. And then I put, at the very last minute, fresh cilantro. And I think maybe it had like, green onions. And then you put that on the bottom of your plate. So cover your plate with that. Then take your eggs, put that, or excuse me, then I like to mix up hot food and crunchy. So I'll put fresh lettuce, chopped up lettuce on top of that. And then I put the eggs on top of that, fresh cilantro on the top. And it's so delicious. It's like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And I can't take credit for it. It's not really a quote unquote recipe. It's more like stuff, but it's really good.
And yeah, but I'm sure it's awesome. And I love cilantro. I know that's a polarizing thing, but I'm with you. I really like it.
Cilantro. If I met somebody and I'm just like starting to date again, and if I met somebody and they didn't like cilantro, I'd have to be like, we can't. That was really lame, but it's true. So Lauren, this was a really great first show, like a first date. It's our first show. And this was awesome. I definitely want to have you back on the show. We want everybody to know, of course, we can look up, and we'll link up to this in the show notes, where people can buy the Protein Packed Breakfast Club on Amazon. But where can everybody find you online so that they can, because she has tremendous, wonderful content on social media. We're also going to have her do an Instagram takeover on Fitfluential soon. So just make sure you're tuning in for that. But where can people find you online?
So my website is nutritionstarringyou.com, like starring in a movie. So nutritionstarring with two R's, Y-O-U.com. So that's my blog where you can find tons of recipes for weight management and pre-diabetes. I use very little to no added sugars in my recipes. So that's my whole clientele that's looking for that kind of lifestyle. I have plenty for you. On social, my main handle is Lauren Pincus RD. So LauRenPincusRD. So that's going to be on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest. And Facebook is going to be Nutrition Starring You.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. This was awesome. I know we've been talking about doing this for a while, so I'm glad we got to record today. And I definitely will follow up with you so we can have you back on the show. I'm excited to start making some of these recipes. I'm so hungry right now. In fact, it's dinner time and I'm thinking about breakfast for dinner.
Anytime.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not ashamed. But anyway, Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show. This was awesome. You are wonderful. And I love your point of view. I think you had some outstanding points today. We will definitely have you back. For everybody listening, if you have any questions on this particular episode, you can always leave those in the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com. You can email us podcast@fitfluential.com if you have anything you'd like us to pass on to Lauren. But of course, we recommend you connect with her directly on social media or on her website. We definitely encourage you to get the book. If it's holiday shopping time, that's a great gift idea. I can tell you that once you look it up on Amazon, you're going to click to buy it right away. That's all I have to say. So until next time, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Olexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.